Are you free today? Amen. What a great song, a reminder of the power of God in our lives. Man, I was so excited to be able to come Friday night to see the movie Pilgrim's Progress. Almost 100 of you came out, some from our community, and I want to thank you for coming and supporting that. The reason I bring it up today is I just want to encourage you on the Easter weekend, and if you see it at another church or something like that, take the time to go and see A Pilgrim's Progress. It's just it's an allegory, a story. It's about what it means to follow after Jesus, and it's not the feel good gospel either, folks. I want to tell you, it's the real thing, and such a powerful images that I have been thinking about for the last couple of days, and I couldn't help but think about A Pilgrim's Progress as we were singing this song, that there is a road to walk. And it's important that we stay on that road, because that is the road that gives us and allows us to have freedom in our lives. And I, for those of you who were there, do you remember the backpack that that Pilgrim was carrying? And he just said, the promise of God is that one day he's going to get rid of this backpack. And I remember when it finally fell off. And I hope it's fallen off for you. I hope today that you don't carry all the baggage of your old life, but that you are living in the newness of all of the things that God has for you. But A Pilgrim's Progress, highly recommended if you get the opportunity through the Easter season somewhere to be able to have the opportunity to see that. Well, the Lord's table has been set today, and it is our celebration of freedom. It's the earthly representation, you might say. It's the symbol that we have when we come together about our unity with God through Jesus Christ and our unity with each other. Have you ever noticed that you don't take communion by yourself? Ever noticed that? You know why? Because your salvation was the salvation that Jesus died on the cross for was not just one for you, but it was one for every single person in this world. And that's why we get to come together and celebrate it. And so I want to kind of do part two this week from last week, that when our relationship with God is solid, then it's going to begin to affect our relationships with other people. It should begin with our husbands and wives, our parents and children, siblings together, friendships, work relationships, but then it should include just about everyone that we come in contact with. So important to have a solid relationship with God, but then our relationship with other people will become different also. Last week we learned about the word restitution. How many of you know that restitution has always been a spiritual principle and talked about in the church? We just haven't done it for a long time, not just in this church, but in our culture, because we're really thankful for the grace of God. We're thankful when we can receive it. But the harder part, I believe, for us is when we have to extend grace. Amen? Easy to receive it. Sometimes it is hard to extend it. So I want to continue on with that today about what God wants to do in all of our relationships together. Restitution, again, is the willingness to do whatever it takes to make things right. And so often, when we come and when we are trying to make a relationship right and we are asking for forgiveness or whatever it is for something that we have done to other people, it is a powerful, powerful thing when we can include in that statement of forgiveness, and whatever I can, I'll do whatever I can to try and make right what the wrong was. Well, today we want to kind of flip it now. What does it mean when we have things that have been done to us, things that is hard for us to let go? And step 9 says this, that I will make a list of all the persons who I think have harmed me and seek forgiveness and release from such harm. Now, what we normally do in life is we just try to get used to the fact that there are just some people in life that have done bad things to us, and we just can't do anything about it, and so we have to let it go. And for the most part, that is the way it is a lot of times, because some people don't want to make things right. when they have harmed us. Some people don't believe that they've done anything, or some people just believe, hey, you just need to get over it. But the scripture tells us, again, that God's will for us, if we want to be free, okay? And this is only if we want to be free. If we want to carry around the baggage of frustration and disappointment and hatred in our relationships with each other, we can. But if we really, truly want to be free, there is a way to do that, and that is to live a lifestyle of forgiveness and reconciliation. So if you would this morning, turn to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to begin with verse 12 and move down through verse 17, helping us understand again how we can navigate the relationships of our lives to reconcile, and as best as we know how, to live in peace and proper relationship with all of the people that we come in contact with. Now, as we move into this passage of Scripture, I want to revisit the word anger and remind you again last week that the anger we're talking about is not the normal, natural anger that we experience in our lives that just kind of rises up when things happen to us. But this is a simmering anger. You might want to call it a lifestyle of anger. And what you have to realize about anger in your relationships with other people is that it is always progressive, okay? It never just sits there on the back burner. But what happens is it stews and it gets worse and it gets worse, and ultimately it will cause you to have contempt for someone else. Now, you don't have to raise your hand today, but I want you to maybe think about someone in your life that you've had contempt for. You can say, oh, I've never had contempt for anybody. Well, you are a rare person. Because all of us in our lives have allowed ourselves to feel feelings toward people that will move us toward feeling contempt for somebody. And then it's a short distance after feeling contempt for somebody to begin to malign their character and to begin to say things about them that hurt them in the eyes of other people. And what God says is that when we live our lives like that, we carry this burden around with us. And a lot of times what we don't realize is that the other person doesn't care. Have you ever noticed that? You really want them to care. You really want them to know how angry you are with them and how badly you feel about them. But a lot of times they have moved on and they don't care. Sometimes they do, but we're the ones that carry this load on our backs. And so Jesus said, I want to relieve all of the burdens of sin in your life. And so all of the things that we have done that hinder our relationship with God, God takes care of those things because of his son, Jesus Christ. But he also tells us that he can take care of those things also in our relationship with him. So we want to have a clear, clean relationship with God, and we want to, as best as we possibly can, have a clear and a clean relationship with the people that we run into in our lives. So verse 12 tells us this, that therefore, as God's chosen people, do you know you're a chosen people today? God has reached down into your life and he has set you apart. He has made you a part of his family. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved by him, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I like that word there, clothed, because when you get up in the morning, you always have a choice about what you're going to wear, right? Now, I have to tell you that when Gail and I get up in the morning and we get ready for the rest of our day, we walk into our closet. We only have one little walk-in closet. We downsized when we moved here. We've got one little walk-in closet. And I do need to tell you today that Gail has a whole lot more to choose from than I do. Right, babe? A whole lot more shoes, a whole lot more everything. And I have met very few. I have met a few, but I have met very few couples that it isn't like that. But I have a lot of stuff, too, that I can choose from. Man, I've got shirts, and I've got jackets, and I've got shoes, and I've got all kinds of stuff to choose from. And so I get up, every morning, and I get to choose what I'm going to wear. Well, the scripture says every day that we get up, as we are going to be interacting with people in our lives, as we're going to be bumping into people, and that some of those people are not going to be the easiest people to bump into, we have a choice about what we put on in our lives. And so the scripture says, when you get up in the morning, this is what you need to do. You need to dress yourself with compassion, with kindness, with humility. Now, how many of you, I had you on the first two, but I lost you on the third one? That's not an easy one, is it? Gentleness and patience. Now, you see, the hard thing about this is that our world is going to get up, and many people in our world are going to dress themselves with judgment, with frustration, with pride, with unkindness, and with a sense of wanting you always to do what they want you to do. That's the way most people get up in the morning. That's the pants they put on, the shirt they put on, the jacket they put on, and the shoes they put on. And they walk out into the world with all of these demands on other people. And guess what those other people do? They don't meet the expectations, do they? And so we live in a world, if we're not careful, where we're walking around all the time frustrated with other people. We're frustrated with what they do. We're frustrated with how they act. We're frustrated in who they support for president. Sorry, I got political. We're just frustrated all the time with people. We just get up every day and we can't stop our frustration. Well, the scripture says, as God's people, we can change the climate of the relationships that we have. So that when we run into people, we treat them with compassion. What is compassion? Well, if you've got compassion on somebody, you're not judging them, are you? You're running into them and you're saying, what does this person need? What does this person need from me today? I know how they're acting, and I know what they're saying, and I know what's going on, but what is it that they really need from me today? And instead of giving them what they deserve, we give them compassion. We give them understanding. The scripture says that we can also run into people and be kind to them. What a novel idea that we could be kind to people. I want to tell you that when I'm driving, it's hard to be kind to people. I bring it up every week so that all of you can go, there he goes again. I get it. But I want to tell you that I make a real effort in my life. I do. I make a real effort in my life to let people go first. When people cut me off, instead of speeding up. What is it about our foot? When somebody cuts us off, we go, vroom. Well, I'm learning to go, oom. Kindness, treating people differently than the world is used to being treated. Humility, so that when we bang into somebody and we have a difference of opinion, winning is the only thing that matters. No, what matters is our humility. What is it? What is it that we can learn from this person? What is it that we can do to bring the temperature down with our humility? Gentleness. Oh, the world is dying for gentle, gentle people. And finally, patience. Oh, I remember in seminary, professor said, don't ever ask for patience because you'll get it. God will give you every opportunity. We know that. We understand that, don't we? But patience, what a wonderful thing it is to not extend judgment and to make people feel that they've got to act this way or that way, but instead to give them patience while they're learning and understanding all that God wants for them. So we have a choice each and every day. We get to get up and we can put on whatever we want to. And as we do that, what you're going to find is that we're going to be what God wants us to be. Because you see, in Christ, there are no Jew, there is no Jew, and there is no Greek. You want me to update for you today? In Christ, there is no Hispanic, there is no Anglo, there is no black, there is no Asian. Oh, these cultures are good and they're wonderful and we should merge together and enjoy each other. But why is it so often in our world today that we use that one thing as an opportunity to create the opposite of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience? The scripture says to us, there is no rich and there is no poor. That means we don't divide up based on who has a lot of money or who doesn't. We don't divide up on who's got all this education and who doesn't have a lot of education. These are artificial distinctions that our world creates to separate us and to make us either feel better, feel superior to other people, or feel inferior to other people. Now, don't hear me wrong. There's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with an education. All of these things are good, but they were never meant to divide us. We in the body of Christ, through these gifts, these fruits, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, God is always trying to bring our lives together. There is no male nor female. We are all one in Jesus Christ. And so he says, dress yourself. You got a choice every day. You can dress yourself in all of these things over here if you want to. And you can go out and do battle with the world if that's what you want to do. And you can hack and cut and fight and do all of these kinds of things. Or you can dress yourself differently. You can clothe yourselves in the things of Jesus Christ. And so if you're doing that, listen to what he says in verse 13. Then you can bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. You see, you have to have the right clothes on if you're going to bear with one another and forgive one another. You know what bear means? That means you're just going to keep going and stay with that person and the relationship no matter what. Wow, that's something we don't see a lot today, because the first thing we want to do is we want to divide ourselves up. Not that person, not that person, not that person. And don't hear me wrong today. Sometimes we have to separate ourselves from people and things because it hurts our lives and people do things that we have to be away from. But we're way too quick. We're way too quick to stop bearing with each other, going the extra mile, hanging in there, staying with it, not giving up. Bear with each other. And the way you do that is that you put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I want to tell you this, folks. It's hard to be around somebody and be mean to them if they are being kind to you. You know, it just is. It's hard to be frustrated with somebody who is praying for you and showing caring and compassion towards you. And so the scripture says here, bear with each other. If you have a grievance, and you know why he puts that in there? Because we all have grievances. We all have grievances with people. There is not a person who is here today that doesn't have a grievance against somebody. Somebody who didn't do what they were supposed to do. Somebody who didn't act the way they were supposed to act. Somebody who didn't say the right thing. I have grievances. You have grievances. All of us today, we have grievances in our lives. But when we have that, we can bear with each other. And when we bear with each other and we are dressed properly in our lives, then what we do is we can forgive each other. And relationship can be what God desires for it to be. And if you need any help with that, remember this, that you are to forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, do you remember what God forgave you of? Do you think God had a rightful grievance against you? I believe he did. I know he has rightful grievance against me. And I'm pretty sure he had rightful grievance against you. And so when we have relationship grievances with each other, we are to remember what Christ did for us. And if we're clothed properly, then we will do what he asks us to do. I remember running across this at a seminar one time. How many of you love seminars? Oh, I tell you, you can learn everything you want to know at a seminar, don't you? But this particularly captured me because it's so easy, again, to live according to the principles of our world when we have a grievance with somebody. You know, when I have a grievance with somebody, the first thing that I want them to know is how wrong they are. Because they are. And the thing that I want to do is I want to win. I want to win that argument. I want to confront them about how they need to get their act together and realize how they don't get it like I get it. I get defensive when they say things about me. I want to shift the blame if they say something maybe that I need to hear. I want to belittle their argument and what they're saying. I want to distance myself from them. And you know what that does is it stagnates my life with Christ. Well, the scripture says that we can enter into grievances to want to resolve things, to want to cooperate with people, to be receptive and not defensive when somebody says something that we need to hear, to accept responsibility for the thing in that relationship that maybe we should have done differently, to respect people, to try to bridge the gap instead of pushing the gap away, bear with each other, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And as you're doing it, over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now you see, Gail has to put all of my outfits together. She does. That's why she has more clothes than me, because clothes are not interesting to me. I wear clothes because if I didn't, it would just be awful, okay? Sorry to even bring the image up, but I'm getting another person. Carlos is going to take me shoe shopping, all right, to try to get me some cool looking shoes, all right. It's important that we learn in our lives what it is that brings all of the virtues of God together. You know, I have discovered that when I look at my wife and how she dresses, and when I listen to her and she puts some outfits together for me, it all kind of blends together, doesn't it? Looks good together. Looks nice together. All of those kinds of things are important. Remember that as we dress in the morning, that the most important thing we do is that we put on again the love of Christ. And we do that in every relationship that we have, then all of these things work together and bring us to the place that we need to be with other people. In every relationship, it's so important that love wins the day. You know, I can remember back to when I was a boy, and when I was in church, I sang in the church choir. Did anybody sing in the church choir when you were younger? All right. Not a whole lot of choirs around today, but maybe there are a few. But I sang in the church choir. Did you know that that is where I learned how to read music? Amazing. The worship pastor there, we called him the choir director, the music director. Things change over the years. What was such a wonderful musician that I learned how to read music and all this kind of stuff, singing in the choir. And I can remember how much I loved that. And when I went to college, Gail and I joined the concert choir, and we sang together for 4 years. That's where we met each other and fell in love. And such a wonderful thing as we sang together. And we would sing 8-part harmonies. Every so often, we would break into 16 parts. Ooh, man, we were good. Oh, man, we even cut a record. I had a beard back then, big black beard. My beard nowadays would not be black, all right? Big black beard. And we made this album, and I was right in the middle, just standing there like this. And my dad looked at it, and he said, "You look like the guest soloist." I just remember singing and all that beautiful music and learning all of that kind of stuff. As time went on, I sang in barbershop quartets. Loved to sing gospel quartets, barbershop quartets, whatever they were. Sang lead, first tenor, all this beautiful, beautiful stuff, all this beautiful music. And I remember the first time we brought a drum set in the church. Boom! And I went, "That's great." Only not everybody in the church went, "That's great." Some people in the church went, "What?" And then we brought a guitar, and then we brought two guitars, and then we got more than one person leading the singing, and things over the years began to change, and I remember what they called it. You know what they called it? The worship. Who said war? Thank you. They called it the worship wars. Why in the world, when you're singing praises to God, would you ever have a war? Well, I know why. Because we have grievances. I don't know if I like that. Well, I don't know if I like that. Well, I don't know if I can ever go to a church again that does this. Well, I don't know if I can. All of a sudden, music, instead of the love of Christ, became the order and the message of the day. What I want to tell you today is that if I find a good choir, I'm going to go listen to it. Because I love good choirs. Whenever the, what are they called? They come here in August, the four guys, the quartet, the Liberty Quartet. Man, when they're here, I'm going to be there. I love that stuff, man. I'm going to be singing along with them. I can't sing as high as that first tenor guy anymore, but man, I'm going to be here. But I want to tell you, man, I'm going to be here every Sunday because I love to raise my hands and I love to hear the rhythms of the guitars and the drums and raise my hands and keep my eyes upward towards God. The reality is that what God loves is God loves when people are together and they worship together and they love him together. And whatever it is that they're doing, they bring all the virtues, what it means to be a Christian together, and they do it in perfect unity. Now, that can set you free, folks. It really can. It can set you free. It can get a lot of stuff off your back that you're carrying that God never intended for you to carry. If you'll just get up every day and put on the things of God and let them come together and be coordinated by the love of God. Now look at these last few verses here. He says, if that's the way you're living, then let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to war. No. You were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish each other with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. What this does is when we come together, whether it is in a small group or to do something in the community or for a worship service or for a movie night or for a game night, whatever the case may be, what happens is when we're dressed properly and when it's all coordinated by love, then what happens is we come together and that we can always be thankful for the people that God brings into our lives. Now, I know when I say, are you thankful for the people that God has brought into your lives? I know you go to certain people. Oh, man, yes. But are you thankful for the people that God has brought into your lives that may not always be easy, that may be difficult, that may be a challenge, that sometimes may be a struggle? Do you realize that you can learn to be thankful for everyone that God brings into your life? I'll close with this. I read the story of, actually I didn't read it. I remember watching it on TV. Do you remember Charles Osgood? All right. If you're under 40, you're going, got no clue, all right? I get that. He was this feel-good guy, and by feel-good, I don't mean that derogatorily. He always had a positive story to tell, and he would come on at the end of a newscast, and he would come on, and he would tell a story that would uplift you and show you the good things. A lot of newscasts do that nowadays. They'll try to do something positive after all the they'll try to do something positive at the very end. Well, Charles Osgood went to brought his cameras and everything and went to a nursing home where two ladies were there who for quite some time had just been sitting in their room, really not being able to do anything. Both of them had had strokes. One of them, the right side of their body was paralyzed. The other one, the left side of their body was paralyzed, and they couldn't really do much of anything that they wanted to do. Both of them had been pianists and quite good pianists. And of course now, because one hand didn't work, they were not able to play the piano anymore. And it had caused them to kind of withdraw and to sit in their room and to not really think that life had very much left for them. Well, a very enterprising activity director. Thank God for activity directors. No, thank God for people who will go into places and just try and do the best they can to make people's lives better. We need more people like that. Well, he came up with the crazy idea, because they could still kind of tap out and play a few things with one hand. What would happen if they sat at the piano and one of them played with the right hand and one of them played with the left hand? And it was amazing that these two ladies, over time, it wasn't like a concert, all right, at the downtown Civic Center, all right. But it was amazing. These two ladies, one would play with the right hand and one would play with the left hand. And the music was very beautiful and pleasant to listen to, because they learned to play together even though they had different hands and they were playing different things. You know what was most amazing about that to me, though, was now instead of sitting in their room all the time, they were out of their room, and they were at the piano again, and they were friends, and they loved each other, and they cared for each other, and the people of the place loved them and cared for them. The ability to learn to play together caused everything in their life to be different. See, we can be thankful for all of the relationships that we have. Not all of them are going to be easy. Not all of them are going to make us excited and happy all the time. But we can be thankful for the people that God brings us into our lives. And we can come together, and we can sing together, and we can pray together, and we can share the Word of God together. We can do all of these things together because we're dressed properly, and all of it is bound up in the love of Christ. So whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let Jesus be the Lord of your relationships. Remember how important it is to make things right if you can, to forgive when people ask, to reconcile when people make it available, and you will find that your relationship with God will grow stronger as your relationships with others grow stronger also. That again is kind of why we're here today. This is all about not just the forgiveness of our sins. It starts there, but it's also about having a relationship with God. It's not all messed up anymore, but it's forgiven. It's reconciled. We can actually walk into the presence of God now because the body was broken and blood was shed so that our sins might be forgiven. Today, just remember that these elements, this body was broken and this blood was shed so that you could get off of your back all the things that you carry in your life, and that in also the relationships that you have in this world, you could have the relationships that God desires for you to have. And so, Ralph, if you'll come up and help me, my friend, on the same night that our Lord was betrayed, he took bread and he gave it to his disciples and he said, take and eat. This is my body. It was broken for you. And after supper, he took the blood and the juice and he passed it around and he said, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me. As we take this together today, do it in remembrance that Christ brings us together with him, but also us together with others. In Jesus' name. Worship team, if you'd come forward and prepare to lead us through this time. Ushers, come. Take a piece of bread and some juice. Hold it in your hand until everyone has been served. And then we will share and take the Lord's Supper together this morning.